Welcome to the Under Center podcast presented by St. Xavier University with our Bears contributor, Alex Shapiro, Tony Gill running the pod, and I am Kenneth Davis. You know we have to go over the schedule that dropped yesterday. It's a complex and difficult schedule for our beloved Bears. Right now they're beloved until they start playing games and losing, then they will no longer be beloved. But we definitely have to get into that. And also, Alex wrote an article about his five most intriguing games. We'll touch on that a little bit later in the show.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You know, we're riding high.
What is that shirt, Tony? What type of futuristic type of...
You want some next Star Wars onesie.
You said it's a onesie?
Mm-hmm.
Stand up.
Oh, my God.
I have to see it. Oh, that's God. I love it.
That is incredible.
Dude, you have to do... Why are we on StreamYard?
I don't have access to StreamYard yet.
Okay, because we need to see that on this pod right there.
Yo,
and you need to do the same
access,
shake.
Yeah.
You have to do the same shake.
That was magnificent.
Exactly. So, guys, you saw the schedule yesterday just off top. We already knew it was going to be difficult, especially with the Bears facing the AFC North and I guess the AFC South. I mean, NFC South. So what were your thoughts so far on the Bears schedule?
You know, it isn't as tough as I was expecting going in, because when you look at all the opponents, you say, okay, yeah, there are some premier opponents. You've got the Ravens, you've got the Bucks, the defending champs, you've got, the Browns who are up and comers, and you think, oh man, this is going to be tough. But then when you look, I think they were fortunate to have not as difficult as of a start to the season. I think starting against the Rams is tough. And the Rams always play the Bears tough, right? The last two times, I think the Rams have won. But then following that up with the Bengals and then getting the Lions in game four, I think they could walk away from the first quarter of the season 2-2 and feeling okay. And then you're going into a Raiders game where they probably want revenge against the Raiders. Khalil Mack wants revenge against the Raiders. The last time they played the Raiders, obviously, things went poorly.
Went terrible overseas.
Yeah. So I have that game five as maybe a kicking off of, okay, here's where the Bears start really feeling good about themselves. If they're able to get the best of the Raiders, that, you know, then we're 3-2 heading into a game with Green Bay, and things could be interesting. Things could be very interesting where I don't think it's as bad as a lot of fans were expecting going into the schedule release.
And I'm at the NFC West. Tony, what was your thoughts?
Oh, 17-0, man. Let's go.
Oh, see, now you're letting the Reddit people get to you. Somebody on Reddit said Tony is being extra negative. That's what Tony is here for. While we're sipping juices.
It hurt me so much.
It's like, yin and yang.
This team hurt me so much. I have PTSD with the Bears all the time. Shit. They hurt me so much. So I'm just inherently negative, because it hurts to believe. But, you know, this team, that, you know, with the draft, it does give you hope, right, that things can change. And it will change with the new quarterback and a new left tackle. Like, you start getting the feels again, you know. But, again, this is a multi-year thing for me. Like, I'm not expecting a Super Bowl next year. They have the third hardest schedule, you know, in the league, and like that's gonna come to fruition. I'm not as hyped that this team can make the playoffs, unless Justin Fields just is out the gate hooping, which is a possibility. I'm not leaving that door closed. But the Bengals and, you know, the Browns are pretty good. Lions and Raiders and, there are some winnable games early on. Like, I will say that. And something crazy can happen, like last year, where, the Bears are 4-0. The Bears are 5-0. What's going on here? That is certainly a possibility with some of these teams. But the remaining of the schedule, like Ken, you mentioned before, like you got the Packers, the Bears splitting the Packers series, and even with Rodgers, they usually do. I mean, that's a toughie. They play the defending champions. Shanahan has his shiny new toy.
They did beat those break defending out? Champions, though. They beat those champions already. Oh, they got the blueprint. They know how to do it.
Listen, I think Tom Brady's going to want to down to Tampa's going to remember what took place in Soldier Field with him forgetting how many plays he had left and put a buking on the beloved Bears. I see revenge in his eye, in his eyes.
That may be the case.
We'll see. Yeah, because that one was a glaring loss for the Buccaneers last year, going into the Bears. So listen, if Aaron Rodgers, I'll say this much, going along with what you said, Tony. If Aaron Rodgers is gone from Green Bay, I probably would have the Bears winning both games. But just because with division rivals, you have a leg up with familiarity. So even if Aaron Rodgers is gone, there's a chance. But I think the Bears, if Jordan Love or Blake Bortles is starting for the Packers, the Bears are probably taking that series from the Pack this year. And also just smiling as the curse has been broken from the Packers' stranglehold of having great QBs in our face stunting and doing whatever the hell they want to do. So, all right, for me, all right, I'll say this too. One game I'm interested in, and this is in the preseason, I'm interested in the game on the 21st of August against Buffalo at noon, because that being the second preseason game, and I could be wrong, but that should be the dress rehearsal that we were used to with the third preseason game, where the starters usually go to the third quarter, because that's the game before the last preseason game. So instead of it being the third game as usual and the fourth game being where the guys that are trying to get on the team and get tape out there are usually playing, I see the second one being that one and them resting the starters against Tennessee at 6 p.m. on the 28th. So I'm interested in that because Buffalo and the Bears are probably, at least through the first half, if not through part of the third quarter, are going to play their starters. And Buffalo being a team that we know is a legit AFC contender, that's going to kind of give us a little bit of knowledge of how good the Bears are. But getting into the season, I have the Bears losing to the Rams at SoFi Stadium. And also, why do we always have to go out there? You know, it seems like this Rams thing has been going on. They've only come here, I believe, like once out of the last 3 years or 4 years that we've had to play against them. I have them beating Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase with the Bengals because they don't have a left tackle. The Cleveland game to me is interesting because of all the talent that they have, especially if Baker Mayfield is playing well this season. I have them losing against Cleveland. I have them beating Detroit. I have them beating the Raiders. I have them losing to – this is a three-game losing streak. I have them losing to the Packers, Tampa Bay, and San Francisco if Jimmy Garoppolo is still there. And so or if he's starting, I should say, depending on if he's hurt or they flip to Trey Lance. I have them beating the Steelers because I think Ben Roethlisberger is just past his prime right now and you just can't cover it up, and having that elbow surgery isn't helping also. I have them beating Baltimore because I'll say this.
Hello. Hello.
I haven't beaten Baltimore because at this point, I'm saying that the Bears and Tevin Jenkins, the left tackle, is working, because you got to get physical. I was watching Brian Greasy on the ESPN yesterday, and this could be wrong, but one of the points that he was making is that the teams that bring physicality, like Baltimore that he picked out, and like the Washington football team's defense, those teams are probably going to play well during this longer season or whatever. And he didn't mention it, but I thought about the Bears defense, and I thought about the Bears talking about wanting physicality with their offensive line. So I have them out physicaling Baltimore and stifling Lamar Jackson. So I have them beating Baltimore. I have them beating Detroit because Jared Goff is there, even though Detroit's going to be a physical team. I have them beating Arizona bite the kneecap when you come up and dig, bite the kneecap and get the other kneecap.
It's just easy. You just wear knee pads. You just go to Detroit with knee pads, and then the Lions can't do anything. They're like, wait, we didn't plan for this. They're wearing knee pads. We were ready.
You guys see their war room during the draft? It's like a, it looked like a giant mosh pit.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
Dude. Yeah, dude. I have them beating Arizona because I, at the end of last year, I was big on Kyler Murray, but I feel like Cliff Kingsbury, they kind of found out the sauce towards the end of last year. So unless they are able to turn around and come up with ways now that the film is out on Kyler Murray, I don't know how good they're going to be, but I have the Bears beating Arizona. I have them beating Green Bay for the second matchup. I have them beating Minnesota. I have them losing to Seattle, which is going to be crazy with the narrative about the Bears wanting to trade for Russell Wilson and then getting a quarterback who's similar, to, but yet physically more gifted. He's not better than Russell Wilson. But also that quarterback says that he looks up to Russell Wilson. Of course, I haven't beaten the Giants, and then I have them beating Minnesota again. So I have them taking the Minnesota series, which Hogue pointed out starts so late this year, and they've been playing them two games towards the end of the season. But yeah, so I have the Bears going, and this is crazy. I have them going 11-6, but probably I'll say this: I have them going no less than 9-8 now. Is that how it goes with this weird schedule?
I have them
being no worse, I should say, than 9-8. I believe this season. So again, the juice is being sipped. It's tasty today. We will see during the regular season how it goes. But Alex, what's your record right now for the Bears this upcoming season after the schedule is out?
So it's funny. I also have them at 11-6, but I picked some different wins. I picked some different losses, like that Ravens game. I don't have the Bears winning that Ravens game, but love to see it. It'd be great. And I got to start off. I love that you started your analysis with Bills Bears preseason game number two, and you gave some legit thoughts about it, because I'm going total meatball with that one. I also got that game scheduled, but I'm going total meatball. I just want to see Mitchell Trubisky play Justin Fields. Are you kidding me? That's such a great one. I don't want to see the starters. Get those starters out of the game early. I want to see Mitchell Trubisky back in Soldier Field, taking it to the Bears. And then, we'll also get a good look at Justin Fields then as well. So
that's a good one.
The number two pick versus the number 11 pick. Again, just like meatball, extra marinara. That's what I want to see. you can take a look at your depth charts or whatever. Give me that storyline.
That in Chicago?
That's at Soldier Field.
Yes. Will fans boo Mitch Trubisky?
Oh, I
some
hope
of
not.
Them will. Some of
I
them
hope
will
not. So, you listen, can't blame Mitchell Trubisky. It's not his fault that things didn't work out.
Alex is right, but I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No,
you're right. But because of Justin Fields, I feel like if we didn't draft a quarterback, there would be less fans that would boo him. But now that we have something that we can idolize over him, I feel like, yeah, Tony's throwing up two fingers on separate hands, if you get what I'm saying. I feel like there are going to be people that are going to be like, F you, we
got to start. But we got the guy. We got a different guy. Now, if they were rolling in there with only Andy Dalton, I think people would be more pissed. But it's like, what's with the hard feelings? We got the new guy. We got the shiny new toy. Wish him well. I hope he does well.
We took too long to get here. Too long.
They didn't even do the fifth year. They cut him short early.
You're right. But look, I'm with you. But I definitely know some people are going to boo Mitch.
Yeah.
Because
I think maybe like, just the reaction of just seeing Mitchell Trubisky, albeit in a different uniform, but on Soldier Field, may just start that reaction that here's Mitchell Trubisky on Soldier Field trying to play football. It may just automatically come out. And then they will realize, like, oh, well, this is kind of messed up. But I think initially there will be a
that would be so sad.
It's gonna be a boo. Especially because look at it like this. Because one thing you pointed out, Alex, it's not his fault, right? You gotta lay a lot of this on Nagy and Ryan Pace for moving up one slot to select him. That's not his fault where he got drafted. That's Ryan Pace's fault. But and I wonder this. I don't think it'll matter, but I'll point this out. If Justin Fields is out a series prior to him, if Justin Fields is already out there, then they bring in Mitch, they're definitely booing Mitch. All right, they're going to cheer. The thing is, we're so pumped up for Justin Fields that to see Mitch is going to make us be like, it's just one of those things. I feel like I'm not me, but I think that people are going to boo him just out of we're happy and good riddance, and he didn't necessarily deserve all of that, but he definitely deserved some of it.
We shall see.
Tony, you didn't give us your record.
August 21st.
Tony, you didn't give us your record.
Looking at it again, I can see 9-8 being the thing. Mm. I'll be positive on this one.
Oh, Reddit listeners, that's for you right there. That's for you right there. It's possible. The 9-8 is possible when you look at the schedule. And one thing that we said, because Tony, you brought up, I believe it was during the draft time, that the Bears had the toughest schedule. Now we know it's the third toughest schedule, as you said earlier. But still, some of these teams, we don't know if they're going to be as good as they were last year. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the things. And mm-hmm. I know that Bears senior writer Larry Mayer, and I was talking about this last night on that Davis, he put this out on the Bears website. The Bears are scheduled to play 4 primetime games this year. They'll appear twice on Sunday Night Football on September the 12th against mm-hmm. the Rams and December the 12th against the Packers, and twice on Monday Night Football, mm-hmm. November the 8th against Pittsburgh and December 20th versus the Vikings in Chicago. 5 of the Bears' 6 non-division road opponents made the playoffs last year, and none of the 6 had a losing record. The Rams, the Browns, the Bucks, the Steelers, and the Seahawks all qualified for the postseason, while the Raiders did not, and they were 8-8. On the flip side, the only one of the Bears' 5 non-division opponents, only one of the 5 non-division home opponents reached the playoffs and had a winning record last year. The Ravens, the Bengals, the 49ers, and the Cardinals. Now, if you look at that, the 49ers should be better than they mm-hmm. were last year. And the Ravens, I don't know. See, let me ask you guys real quick how you feel about the Ravens. And I know this is a Bears Center podcast, but I feel like, one, the speed of Lamar Jackson, it still is always going to get teams, but I don't think it's getting teams as much. And is Bozeman the receiver out of Minnesota that they drafted? Am I correct with that?
I think it was Rondale Moore off the top of my head.
No, that's the Purdue kid that went to the Arizona Cardinals. I'm talking about whatever the receiver's name from Minnesota. He better be the catch radius guy that they need, because they need a catch radius guy for Lamar Jackson. So I don't know how that offense is going to be. I know they brought in Villanueva from the Steelers. That's still not the same as the talent that you traded away to Kansas City. I don't know what that team's necessarily going to be. So I'm like this when it comes necessarily to the Ravens. But again, the point that I was trying to make, some of these teams aren't going to be as good as they were last year. It's just the truth. What half of the teams in NFL that made it to the playoffs aren't going to make it to the playoffs this season. And look, that could be the Bears who went 8-8 last year, but still with thinking that some of these teams won't be as strong as they were last year, and the Bears may be better on offense. And I think the Bears defense, even with the loss of Kyle Fuller, I think Kyle Fuller's loss is going to be glaring. And I know people are going to be like, but Eddie Goldman was going all last year. Yeah, but what was he doing? He wasn't like picking up rocks and hurting his body. He was chilling at the crib, avoiding COVID. So I think it should definitely help the front seven. So I think the front seven to be better than it was. And also, when you look at Robert Quinn, he can't be worse, can he? At least while I'm sipping this Kool-Aid. He's older. So he's about to say something.
He should be better. He was trending up. It was Rashad Bateman. Rashad Bateman was the guy from Minnesota. Also added Sammy Watkins, though. And the thing with the Ravens, just going back to the Ravens, they needed more weapons besides Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews. And Sammy Watkins is a weapon. If he stays healthy, right? Rashad Bateman. I mean, these are just more guys to spread the love around for Lamar Jackson. So I do not think they're going to be a team that gets worse. But like you said earlier, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were on the downswing towards the end of last year. The Seahawks are also, I mean, they just completely imploded. And I am not sold that even with Russell Wilson back in town, that everything's hunky-dory over there. Who knows what the Seattle Seahawks are going to be this season. But then interestingly, you had the Giants. Now, the Giants is a team that I think everybody laughs about and said, oh, so the Giants are terrible. I think the Giants could be a lot better this year. They were a team kind of on the uptick. Their defense was kind of underratedly solid. Saquon Barkley's coming back. Daniel Jones looks more and more like an actual quarterback. And then they add Kadarius Toney, who's a guy we talked a lot about on this podcast for the Bears at 20. So they get a legit option, you know, a legit weapon. So it goes.
So you have the
ways.
Giants beating the Bears. You have the Giants beating the Bears.
I don't. I have the Bears beating the Giants. Just I do have the Bears beating the Giants. But I don't think that's going to be, you know, one of their easier games on their schedule. I think, you know, the Lions lose Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones. I love Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's my guy. Fight on, Amon-Ra. As great as Amon-Ra St. Brown is, is that enough to replace Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones?
That's a good one. I forgot about Kenny Golladay, but for all the Bears Nation, I'll say this. The Bears will dog walk the Giants. And I'll bring back this heat if I'm wrong 4 months from now. I have the Bears putting their bear paw somewhere it shouldn't belong when it comes to the Giants. All right. I'm just listen, and you're right. And Gettleman was right when he picked Daniel Jones over what's the kid from Ohio State's name?
Dwayne Haskins, was that?
Thank you, Dwayne Haskins. Boy, that was clearly correct, yep. to say the least. But still, there's something about Daniel Jones that I feel like is missing. I love the tool set. I just don't know if he can put it together. But I love Daniel Jones's tool set. I don't know if he can necessarily put it together. And Saquon has to prove to me he's healthy. We know he's a freak of nature. But that's the problem. You draft running backs that high, man. You run that risk.
The Lions did add Tyrell Williams also and Breshad Perriman, but I mean, Breshad Perriman was a nothing for the Ravens. Tyrell Williams is talented, but again, it's, you know.
Yeah, he was hurt too. But when you said Perriman, he missed his rookie season. I think he missed most of the first two seasons. And also returning to the team that his father played for, Breshad Perriman. I forget his father's first name, but he played for the Lions way back in the days, was a speedy wide receiver for them, I believe.
Ooh, what you about I learned to say something to you? Today. I learned something today on the podcast.
Well, I think it's time that we discuss the real question. When does Justin Fields start?
Mm. Ooh.
So for me, last night, Ryan said that he had them.
You're mentioning people that we don't know.
I'm sorry. So I have a show called That Davis Show. My executive producer, Ryan, all right, who lives now in Arizona. He used to stay here. He had him coming in for the San Francisco game, I believe. I think it was the San Francisco game, October 31st. I think they're probably, if things are, depending on how things are going, it's going to be the bye that you would see him. You say what?
Was that week eight?
That is week. The week 10 is the bye week. All right. I have them at week 10, probably. I mean, this is if things are going well, being like, you know what, Dalton, you looking straight, but the kid is ready. That's if he goes in this season, mm-hmm. if Andy Dalton stays upright the entirety of the season. I have the bye week because you get 2 weeks to kind of get the kid set up to go, being the time. And also, you're giving him half of the season almost to kind of sit and kind of learn probably and just practice how to sit there and call plays and from the huddle and things like that. That's when I have him. What about you two?
I don't really know, but I love that 49ers call just because if Trey Lance is also starting then, oh man, Trey Lance versus Justin Fields. You want to talk about intrigue. So you plugged my most intriguing matchups. Kind of listicle earlier. That's one mm-hmm. of them I had highlighted for that reason. The Niners game, because the Niners and the Bears did kind of the same thing, right? They have this veteran QB, but they both draft their rookies, and both of these rookies are like, oh, when are we coming in? When are we going to play? So that's also Halloween, man. So things get spooky for these veterans. That's a Halloween game, Bears 49ers. So Garoppolo and Dalton might be a little scared.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good
corny.
One.
That was corny as hell. I apologize.
But wait,
that was corny.
Let me flip that. The worst part would be if Trey Lance and Justin Fields are starting and they stink up the joint for black quarterback football.
Oh,
like,
no,
don't set us back. I'm joking. I'm joking.
It's just one game.
I know, right?
I guess some mixed feelings about Justin getting the start this year. You don't get this many primetime games from the NFL if the NFL's like, hey man, we're gonna need to play your boy.
Yeah, Red Rocket. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. How much of that Red Rocket y'all got out there?
Red Rifle. Red Rifle.
No. Because somebody pointed out through Twitter that it's the Red Rifle, we have to always say Red Rocket, Alex. That's the running gag.
I must have missed that memo.
That's the running gag. That's the running gag.
Because I can see, you know, the commissioner is like, hey, we didn't put you guys on prime time to see Mr. Red Rocket over there. So I feel like the schedule is pushing towards play the guy you drafted. But as we know, Matt Nagy, as a disciple of everything Andy Reid, he is also kind of viewing this as a Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes type deal where, you know, he may just want to have him sit and then maybe have him start the last couple games or whatever, like they did with Mahomes. And I'd be perfectly fine with that. I know there's a rush to see what toy you got for Christmas, but we may be waiting on this. And I can see a scenario where Bears fans become restless, especially if the season isn't going as well, like that in the middle of that three game losing streak that you got them going on, Ken. Like, I can see Bears fans calling for heads, like, put them out there. But I mean, if they want to go that route, right? I mean, they've certainly gotten the trust of the ownership to, you know, do what they need to do. Should Bear fans trust that Matt Nagy knows what he's doing if he isn't starting him is the question. So I'm not sure if he plays any significant, you know, amount of time until like the end of the season. So I don't know.
I got a question. And Tony, you have to give us your record before we move on to Alex's five intriguing game. Okay, now you did. I apologize. What about this? And we haven't talked about this, just in case. There's also the factor that Andy Dalton could get hurt and that could push Justin Fields into the starting lineup. And just looking at the schedule, two games that stand out to me, and you could get hurt in any game in the NFL. The Rams game, the first game of the regular season, and the Browns game when you have Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, those two games in the first three stand out as games where Andy Dalton may take a serious L with that edge rush that I just want to point out. You got, and not just the word, you got Leonard Floyd and you got
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, Aaron Donald. I don't know what's about to say Aaron Gordon, but Aaron Donald. All right, you have that and that defense, and then what the Cleveland Browns got cooking, man. I don't think anybody wants any of that smoke if this under center, wink, wink, in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, with now looking at the opponent team's defensive line, I don't want Justin Fields in that Bucs game.
I mean, kid's gonna get hit sooner or later.
I know. I don't want him touched. I don't want him sullied.
How dare you, Alex? How dare you?
I mean, the injury thing, totally you can't plan for injuries. I mean, they just happen. Nobody expects them to happen, but they do happen. You know, so I don't know. That's a tough road to go down. That's a tough road to go down is like thinking, could an injury playing a crazy line change the way the Bears play their quarterbacks? I don't know about that.
Says the man who injured himself playing softball and is still going to go back to play some more.
Yeah, exactly. Because injuries happen. You can't play for them. You just got to go out and play.
And that's where you may get Justin Fields in earlier. And Tony, what you said, if they go the Patrick Mahomes way with Alex Smith, who you think is worse than Jay Cutler, which is clearly a lie. I still think the thing is Andy Dalton taking that L and be like, ooh, like if our first reaction is gonna be like, ooh, that was nasty. Then it's gonna be like, oh, Justin's gonna come in.
No. Oh, I say, God. Send in the next sacrificial lamb.
Put Foles in.
So you're putting Foles in against the Rams? You're putting Foles in against the Rams if Dalton goes down?
Yes.
Whoa.
Hey, now. You know what? I would say yes, because I wouldn't want him to get that L. But in reality, they're probably going to put in Fields if Dalton goes down. Because
first game? Just, no way.
Yeah. 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 It's gonna be, listen, it's gonna be whoever set up Tyrod Taylor. I don't know who Justin Herbert's cousin was that punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung last season allegedly. But oh my God. Dude, like that, whoever's had that set up in mind is like, we gonna get Herbert out here now, right? Watch out for some sneaky-ish like that here. I'm joking, of course. But yeah, I think it'll be a situation where I don't think Justin Fields is gonna be third. You could be right. Early in the season, he may be the third quarterback, but I don't think they want to tell us that. So I think they would have him listed as the backup quarterback and have Foles as the emergency start guy, but I could be wrong. He may not be able to pick up the play call and command from the huddle, and he could be the third quarterback, particularly early in the season. I could clearly be wrong on that.
I'll say this. If Nick Foles is on the field, something has gone horribly wrong this season. Something has gone horribly wrong.
Because, like, here's my thing. I don't want him coming in into a game. Like, I want him, like, I don't want what happened to Mitch Trubisky, where he just got frustrated with Mitch at the first sign of trouble and just switched the quarterbacks. I don't want a mid-game switch unless both quarterbacks go down. just don't. I want a full week of preparation as he is our starter going into this next game versus, all right, kid, let's see what you got. Like, that doesn't bode well for me. And they're trying to do things in a better way than what they did with Mitchell Trubisky. I think that's the better route if he's going to play this season early on. That's what I would prefer.
What 85 Bears defense are we playing that can knock two quarterbacks out in the same game? Listen, I hate to say it. I want to see that defense. Just if they're breaking that much heat, man. Woo! I've never seen that, especially to your own team. I mean, partially it's going to suck, but if they're breaking that type of heat where they can knock out two of your quarterbacks and you have to go to the third guy, woo, that's a bad. I didn't know we was facing Washington's football team this season, but if you got that type of smoke, oh my goodness, that one is definitely, that would be a good one to say the least. But all right, Alex, you have your five most intriguing games that you can find on NBC Sports Chicago. Tell us your five most intriguing games before we get out of here.
You got it. All right, so we already talked about the Niners and the Bears, the two rookie quarterbacks, and these are just in no particular order. I'm just looking at them. You can find the exact order. You can see the full reasons why on the website or on the app. I've also got the Seahawks game circled for the obvious Russ talk implications, right? And that's late in the season too. So by then we'll know, did the Seahawks make the right move by keeping Russ, or should they have traded him to us, to the Bears? So that one I've got circled for Russ talk implications. I got the first game against the Packers, week 6, because I think that's going to be a real measuring stick, regardless of whether or not Rodgers is in town, right? If Rodgers is in here, you just move that straight to the top of the list. This is the most intriguing game of the year. The first time we're seeing Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. But if not, it's still a measuring stick. How do we do gaining ground in the division? Because the Packers really have dominated the Bears for the past 30 years. I mean, let's be honest. But with this draft, I mean, everybody's riding high. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. It seems like there could be kind of a tide shift happening here where, oh my God, could the Bears actually overtake the Packers in the not too distant future? And this is going to be our first chance to say, yeah, they are getting close, or you know what? They still got work to do. The Packers are still the Packers. They're still the class of the division. So that's going to be a big game. I've got the Buccaneers game because they're the defending champs. The Bears were able to beat them last year. I know we joked about that earlier. Tom Brady is probably not too happy. You know he's going to want to get revenge, but can the Bears cook up another win? Could they follow the same blueprint with their stout defense, you know, and defense leads the way, a couple quick scores, escape with a win, beat the champs twice in a row. But I think the most intriguing game, no joke, is week one against the Rams. Because we talked about their defense. The Bears have this revamped offensive line. Tevin Jenkins is going to be out there. It's our first look at Tevin Jenkins at left tackle in a meaningful game. Is it going to be Justin Fields starting? Is it going to be Andy Dalton starting? How is Andy Dalton going to look? I mean, just everything. There are so many questions. There's so much we don't know about this team. And to get that first look in primetime, Sunday Night Football, I mean, that's...
Let's go!
Exactly. That's must-see TV. And we're going to get a lot of answers, or we're going to... It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. And the Rams are a tough opponent.
Unless they get cooked. Then that'd be really disappointing.
That'd be really, and it could happen. I mean, the Rams play the Bears tough, and the Bears have played the Rams a lot lately. It's kind of crazy how much they play the Rams.
You see Matthew Stafford with a comment.
I forgot one of the most intriguing parts. Thank you. That was in the write-up, Tony. I forgot. We got Matthew Stafford, who's a guy we know. Right. I mean, Matthew Stafford gets out of the division. He's always beat up by the Bears, gets out of the division, finally says, all right, now the Bears can't beat me anymore. And then he plays the Bears again for week one. It's kind of unreal. Yeah. That is a little unfair. I think his record against the Bears is something like 11-9. It's not that terrible.
But not recently, though, he's been hurt and banged up, and they've got him, even though he had a close game last year. And I'll say this part, when with the Packers in their 30-year run, at least during the Brett Favre years with Lovie Smith, they had the Packs numbers. But outside of that, the Packs has just been clubbing the Bears like they were just walruses out in the wild, unfortunately. And
yeah, there's like a
club walruses.
There's like a 3 to 4 year blip where the Bears can beat the Packers.
What is that saying?
That's it's telling you it's that they've been incompetent. They've been incompetent.
Clubbing walruses?
Yeah.
Oh,
for sure. People club walruses all the time. I believe so.
Yeah, you need to.
I was looking for something aquatic.
Some people, you got to go to some new corners of the internet, man.
Listen, I haven't seen this on the show. I watch a lot of Naked and Afraid. All right, so I'm sorry. It popped into my mind. Listen, I wish everyone on another note could see Tony in his Darth Vader onesie. All right. It's worth listen.
Yo, as someone who also watches a good amount of Naked and Afraid, that Darth Vader onesie, you bring that in. That's what is it? Your PSR? That's raising your PSR. Your PSR through the roof with that onesie. That'll keep you nice and warm.
You got a 9.2 PSR with that onesie on.
You're like, yeah, I brought a machete. I brought a fire starter. Tony's, I got this Darth Vader onesie, so I'll be toasty at night. I'm good.
Talk that talk, Alex. For all our Naked and Afraid friends out there, listen, if you're betting on anything, make sure you're using PointsBet, and particularly the Bears this upcoming season. If you're betting on their record, make sure you use PointsBet. That, of course, is it for the Under Center podcast. We'll be back whenever we feel like we're going to be back, or Tony puts the text out telling us when we're going to be back. Rate, subscribe, review, and definitely hit us with that 5-star. We always appreciate it.